So our readings today were on Mishpatim, which is rulings. Mishpatim means rulings. And there was just so many rulings in there, especially on the Torah. And so many people think that the Torah is the law and that we're no longer under the law. So my message to you today is get a life, not rules. Yehovah doesn't give us sets of rules. And I'm going to read you quite a few scriptures to start with. And I'm going to go beyond what we've read today in the Torah. So if we can go to slide 2, please. And Moshe went... Is it there? Thank you. And Moshe went into the midst of the cloud, and he went up into the mountain. And it came to be that Moshe was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And in 31 verse 18, that's from today's reading, it said, when he ended speaking with him on Mount Sinai, that's up on the mountain, he gave Moshe 2 tablets of the witness, tablets of stone written with the finger of Elohim. And verse 32 and verse 1, it says, and when the people saw that Moshe was so long in coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aharon and said to him, arise, make us a mighty one who goes before us. For this Moshe, the man you brought us, who brought us up out of the land of Mitzrayim, we do not know what has become of him. So they thought he'd disappeared. Further down in Shemot 32, it says in verses 15 to 19, Moshe turned and went down from the mountain, and in his hand were the 2 tablets of the witness, tablets written on both their sides, written on the one and on the other. And the tablets were the work of Elohim, and the writing was the writing of Elohim engraved on the tablets. And Yehoshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, and he said to Moshe, a noise of battle in the camp. And he said, it's not the sound of those who shout of might, nor is it the sound of those who cry out in weakness, but the sound of singing that I hear. And it came to be, as soon as he came near the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moshe's displeasure burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. And further down in Exodus 32, 27 to 28, it says, he said to them, thus said Yehovah Elohim of Israel, each one of us put his sword on his side and pass over to and fro from gate to gate in the camp, and each one slay his brother, and each one his friend, and each one his relative. And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moshe, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. I want you to remember that. 3,000 fell on the day of those who were rising up and worshipping another god. Then I want to go to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. On the first account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Yeshua began to do both and to teach, until the day when he was taken up, after giving instructions through the set apart spirit to the emissaries whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them for 40 days, speaking concerning the reign of Elohim. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 2 to 4, it says, and suddenly there came a sound from the heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and settled on each of one of them. And they were all filled with a set apart spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them to speak. And further down in the same chapter, in chapter verses 38 to 42, and Cephas said to them, repent, and let each one of you be immersed in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach for the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the set apart spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as Yehovah our Elohim shall call. And with many other words he earnestly witnessed and urged them, saying, be saved from this crooked generation. Then those indeed who gladly received his word were immersed. And on that day 3,000 beings were added to them. And they were continuing steadfastly in the teachings of the emissaries, and in the fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now I went past our normal reading today to get my point across on how to get a life and not rules. Many people come to Yeshua or come into the Messianic community to seek a book of rules, or something to memorize so they can walk in Yehovah's ways. But we don't give you any rules, we don't give you any laws, we don't give you a book, we read Torah. But this is what they were expecting Yeshua to do when he came on this earth. They expected him to save them from the Romans and to give them a book of rules on how to live. But that's not what Yeshua came to give. The Jews claim that the day Moshe received the 10 mitzvot, the 10 commandments, or the 10 words, or whatever you want to call them, they're all the same, Yehovah instituted a feast entitled the Shavuot, or Day of Pentecost. And this Shavuot, Day of Pentecost, or it's even known as a Feast of Weeks, depending on what you want to call it, all of these terms are correct. Shavuot is seven weeks plus one day, which is 50 days. Pentecost means 50. And it was the 50th day, 7 weeks after the Sabbath, following the wave offering in Vayikra, Leviticus 23:15, which gives us the Feast of Weeks. Can we go there, please? Slide 9. Thank you. In Vayikra 23:15 it says, and from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, you shall count for yourself 7 completed Sabbaths. At the beginning of my message, I read to you the events of the day Moshe gave the 10 mitzvot and the events of the same day 1,500 years later, when Yehovah gave the Ruach HaKodesh to the Talmudim, or the disciples. Now these are two similar scenes on the same day, but yet they are so different. Moshe goes up into the mountain after 40 days and receives 2 tablets of stones with the 10 mitzvot upon them. He brings them down for Israel to obey. They have already broken the first law for not worshipping any other Elohim. So Moshe breaks the stone tablets. Then he tells the people to come to Yehovah's side, and he tells the Levi'im, or the priests of the day, to slay all of those who refused to come. So 3,000 were slayed. Yeshua preached for 40 days about the kingdom of Yehovah after his death on the stake. Then he ascended into heaven and obtains the promise. Let's go to Yochanan chapter 14 and verse 16. And Yeshua says, I shall ask the Father, and he shall give you another helper to stay with you forever. And Ephesians 4:8, it says, that is why it says he went up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts to men. In Tehillim Psalm 68 verses 18 to 19, it says, you have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, and even the rebellious, that Yah Elohim might dwell there. Blessed be Yehovah, day by day, he bears our burden, the ale of our deliverance, Selah. Think on these things. Yeshua went to the Father. And when he went to the Father, he would give the Helper, or as some versions say, the Comforter. He would give gifts for men. In Yochanan chapter 7 and verse 39, it says, "And this he said concerning the Ruach, or the Spirit, which those believing in him were about to receive. For the set-apart Spirit was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet esteemed or not yet glorified." Yeshua ascends into heaven to be with the Father. Like Moshe taking the tablets of the Torah from the Father, he receives the gifts. Yeshua comes down to earth as Moshe came down off the mountain, but Yeshua comes in another form. He comes as the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit. In Yochanan chapter 14, verses 16 to 18, it says, "And I shall ask the Father, and he shall give you another helper, to stay with you forever. The Spirit of the truth, whom the world is unable to receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, for he stays with you and shall be in you. I shall not leave you orphans. I am coming to you." And further down in verse 26, it says, "But the Helper, the set-apart Spirit, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all and remind you of all that I said to you." Yeshua, when he was on this earth, he said that he and the Father are one. And when he goes up to be with the Father, he sends us the Ruach HaKodesh, the Helper. And the Ruach HaKodesh can be seen like Yeshua in Ruachal form, or spiritual form, to remind us of everything he said and everything he did when he was here with humankind on this earth. But he's reminding us not just of what he said and what he did, because he only said and did what the Father, Yehovah, told him to do. So we're not getting it third hand, but we're getting it directly. And instead of handing them tablets of stone, which Moshe was going to do, for them to memorize and obey and stick on the wall of your door, and hang on your walls, Yeshua goes right inside the hearts of 120 people. They are filled with his Ruach HaKodesh, and instead of Moshe saying, "Who is on Jehovah's side, let him come to me," Kepha is filled with the Ruach of Yeshua and says, "Repent and be immersed in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, every one of you, and you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh." Instead of 300 souls being slain that day by the sword, 3,000 souls are saved by the sword of the word that Yehovah preached to them through Kepha. In Yochanan John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, it says, "And out of his completeness we all did receive favor upon favor. For the Torah was given through Moshe. The favor and the truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach." Moshe smashed the tablets of stone in representation that Israel broke the mitzvot the day they received them. In Yirmiyahu Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 33, we read every week in our service. It says, "See, the days are coming, declares Yehovah, when I shall make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Mitzrayim, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, declares Yehovah. For this is the covenant I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, declares Yehovah. I shall put my Torah in their inward parts and write it on their hearts. I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Yeshua came down with the Torah of Yehovah too. But instead of giving it to them to hang in their homes or on their walls, to copy down or write in books and parchments, Yeshua came himself down into their hearts. He wrote the Torah in their hearts. With the infilling of the Ruach HaKodesh into our beings, the manifestation of this is the speaking of tongues. And you can go ahead and talk in tongues whenever you feel that Yehovah is filling you. He's writing words in your heart and his instructions in your souls. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, as we read today from Yeshua. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 10, it says, "And the command which was to result in life, this I found to result in death." And further down in verse 14, it says, "For we know that the Torah is spiritual, but I am fleshly, sold under sin." The problem was that in giving carnal people a spiritual law, or giving fleshly people a spiritual rule, it was like a spiritual law on a rock tablet. Yehovah must make us spiritual, then give us his Torah of instructions to us by putting it into the spiritual part of our being, that is, putting it on our hearts. Today it can be easy to misunderstand Yehovah's intentions and to think that we have to approach Yehovah and take a set of rules home with us. We don't. Yehovah is trying to show us that he came to give us life. He wants to get inside our hearts and he wants to fill us with his Ruach HaKodesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "Making it obvious that you are a letter of Messiah served by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit or the Ruach of the living Elohim, not on tablets of stone, but on fleshly tablets of the heart." And further down in verses 7 and 8, it says, "But if the administering of death in letters engraved on stone was esteemed or glorified, so that the children of Israel were unable to look steadily at the face of Moshe because of the esteem or glory of his face, which was passing away, how much more esteemed shall the administering of the Spirit or the Ruach be?" Not be. If you've got the Ruach in you, people can see it. Your face is different. Your glory is shining. It should be shining. People's hearts are desperately wicked. We never have to teach a child to be disobedient. If you're a parent, you will know that one of the first words a child ever says is no. There's rebellion there and then and there. Why did it say no? Maybe you were saying no to it beforehand. Don't touch that. No, that's hot. But they still learn, come off there. No. I can still picture my 52-year-old son climbing up on a lounge. It was a corner lounge. And in the corner, it was set in, it was made by my uncle when he came out from America to visit us. And we had a corner lounge, and in the corner where it goes around was a triangular piece that was always a vase of flowers on it. And my son was about 12 months old, and he was walking and crawling and climbing up on things, and he'd climb up on the lounge and he'd get near the vase to touch it. And at one stage I looked at him and said, "Hop down, darling, you're not to touch that." And he looked straight at me and said, "No." So I remember children saying no to me at a very young age. He would have been barely 12 months old. And that's what children do. You don't have to teach them rebellion. Rebellion is naturally within them. And he was my most rebellious son. Jumping out of windows at 16, after we'd all gone to bed, so he could go out with his mates and surf his paradise. He didn't do anything wrong, apart from just be disobedient, but he tested you all the time. So people's hearts can be desperately wicked. In Yirmiyahu chapter 17 and verse 9, it says, "The heart is crooked above all and desperately sick. Who shall know it?" But something happens in our heart when Yehovah fills us with the Ruach HaKodesh. In Yechezkel or Ezekiel 36 verses 26 to 27, it says, "And I shall give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I shall take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I shall give you a heart of flesh, and put my spirit within you. And I shall cause you to walk in my Torah, and guard my right rulings, and shall do them." Yehovah gives us a new heart, and that deceptive one is no longer in us. Do not be mistaken. Our hearts are not deceptive when Yehovah gives us a new one. Once we've accepted Yeshua as a Messiah, once we've been immersed and received the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh, and especially after we become Torah observant. You see, there was never meant to be a Torah observant community and a non-Torah observant Sunday worship. They were all supposed to be worshipping on the Sabbath. They were all supposed to be following the Torah. Never ever was there meant to be two. So once we've done all that, which each and every one of us that are listening online, that are sitting in the room, we're all observing the Torah, we're all observing Shabbat, and we are all at different levels, and we're doing the best we can at the level we're at. And that's what you've got to look at. You can't know it all at once. It takes years of reading Torah, years of the Ruach HaKodesh speaking to you and saying, "Now, let this go, let that go. Trust me. Don't look towards men." And you will start realizing, hey, I'm doing this and it's not hard. It's not hard. Once we've got everything written on our hearts, especially the Torah of Yehovah, it becomes easy. And it enables us easier to keep Yehovah's ways. But there was something missing in the old covenant under the Torah of Moshe. The Ketuvah HaShelachim comments about this in Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 8, verses 7 to 10. For it says, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he says, 'See, the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I shall conclude with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda a renewed covenant.'" Same as what I read in Yirmiyahu. "Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand, but led them out of the land of Mitzrayim, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says Yehovah. Because this is the covenant I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah, giving my Torah in their mind, and I shall write them on their hearts, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people." There was a fault. The covenant itself was actually good. But the fault was, the flesh messed things up. The fault was the people. and the flesh mess things up. In Romans 8, verses 3 to 6, it says, "For what the Torah could not do by itself, because it lacked the power to make the old nature cooperate, Yehovah did by sending his own son as a human being with a nature like our own sinful one, but without sin. Yehovah did this in order to deal with sin, and so doing, he executed the punishment against sin in human nature, so that the just requirement of the Torah might be fulfilled in us who do not run our lives according to what our old nature wants, but according to what the Ruach wants. For those who identify with their old nature set their minds on the things of the old nature, but those who identify with the Ruach set their minds on the things of the Ruach. Having one's mind controlled by the old nature is death, and having one's mind controlled by the Ruach is life and shalom." Don't you love the scriptures? They just give you all the answers. It's all in the scriptures. 3,000 people under Torah die of disobedience. 3,000 people in grace are given life. Two covenants, both come down from the glory of Yehovah. We must get a life, not rules. We cannot approach Yehovah as though we are gaining a set of rules. That sort of walk as a believer is error. Real Torah observance and acceptance of Yeshua as our Yeshua is what brings life. Real Torah observance and acceptance of Yeshua as our salvation. Yeshua is his name. Yeshua means salvation. That's why he is our salvation. When you really get the Ruach within you and then learn how to lean upon him in faith and prayer, it leads us to the next verse I'm going to read, Galatians 5, 16 and 17. What I'm saying is this: run your lives by the Ruach, then you will not do what your old nature wants. For the old nature wants what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit wants what is contrary to the old nature. These oppose each other, so that you find yourselves unable to carry out your good intentions. And in Galatians 5, 22 to 23, I'm sure you know it very well. But the fruit of the Ruach, or the fruit of the spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. Nothing in the Torah stands against such things. And it's by your fruit that you are known. It's by your fruit that you should be tested. Your fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control. That's what should be in our lives. That's what people should see from each and every one of us. When you follow the Ruach that works in your heart inside, you will find yourself doing things that Moshe's Torah cannot touch or criticize. The Torah is not against these things of your heart, but your heart is moved upon the Ruach HaKodesh to do them. When I say do not get rules, I am not saying there is nothing wrong and there is no sin. I am saying that the life Yehovah gives in his Ruach will cause you to instinctively know what is right and what is wrong. And you will also learn of the Ruach inside you, the things of the scriptures as you study, because he'll open them up to you. He'll reveal them to you. They'll come and stand out off the page in big black bold letters. The Ruach will never make you feel something that the scriptures say is wrong is to be considered right. Can't find what's happening here. There it is. The Ruach and the Word should always agree. Who is the Word? Yeshua is the Word. So the Ruach, HaKodesh, and Yeshua will always agree. The Word, the sword of the Spirit, is our scriptures. It's also Yeshua. Without the Ruach, when you express yourself, you're doing some sinful things. But if you get the Ruach HaKodesh, pray and seek Yehovah, praise Him, you will find you want to express forth love and goodness and your righteousness. That will just come naturally because He has written Torah into your hearts. They say the Torah is like a mirror. It shows you how dirty you are. Without the Torah, we have no knowledge of sin. The Torah is what judges you. But grace is the water, the soap, and the face cloth that washes that dirt away. And it cleanses you. We all came to Yeshua in filth, in our sin. But Yeshua, in His grace, cleansed us. It's now our job to keep ourselves clean. Moshe said, "You are not to," 10 times in the 10 mitzvot, or "do not," or "you are not to." Yeshua said, "Blessed are the," in the 9 times in the Beatitudes. Notice Moshe is trying to make you do something, but Yeshua, talking about people who are already made a certain way, it is changed lives today, not stone rules and mitzvot. Changed lives live the way stone rules tried to have man live. Yeshua said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who do this. Blessed are those." He told us why we were blessed. Because we were operating in His Torah. I'm not saying that we are only live our changed lives under grace. We need the Torah as a foundation. If we just live in the Ketuvah HaSharakim, we are not getting the foundation. We're not getting the basis of all things. When you look at the scriptures, it starts off with the first 5 books, which is the Torah. The old scriptures were known as the Tanakh. The Tanakh is an acronym for Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. The Nevi'im are the prophets who speak the Torah to the people. And the Ketuvim is the writings. The writings of many, like Lamentations and Esther and Proverbs and Psalms. They are all the Ketuvim. So that's the Tanakh. That's the basis of, with the solid base is Torah. The Nevi'im, the prophets, bring you back to Torah. The Ketuvim brings you back to Torah. Then we've got the Ketuvah HaShalakim, or the writings of the apostles, which is Yeshua's words followed by the apostles' words. And all of these bring you back to Torah. So without Torah, there's nothing. Because you have you've got no knowledge of the base on which all the Ketuvah HaShalakim is speaking about. Do you all understand that? I know I can tend to go on a bit, but it's important that we know where the base is. So we need the Torah as the foundation of our lives. As we live our lives, we continue to fall short of Torah. Then by the grace of Yeshua's sacrifice on the stake, the repentance of our sin, we are continually forgiven. The more we learn Torah, the more we become aware of our sin. Because it's the Torah that reveals the sin. And so the more we apply it to our lives, the less we will sin. And there is less need for repentance. We need to be very careful that we don't use grace as a license to sin. I stopped watching movies after I saw grace being used as a license to sin. Not that I've ever watched a lot of movies. I'm very particular on what I watch. But I watched one movie, I can't even remember the name of it. But it was this couple who were very, so-called very righteous people, weren't married, living in sin, as you might call it, in an unrighteous life. And they'd come to the breakfast table every morning and say, Lord, forgive us, Jesus, you forgive us of our sins because we fornicated last night and we did this and we did that. And then move on to the day and fornicate the next night, and for the next day they say the same sin again. They see repentance and forgiveness as a license to sin. And that opened my eyes, because it's obviously what a lot of people do. And today it's common practice for people to live together before getting married. And it's common practice to fornicate without even having a relationship. But think, that's the way our world is at the moment. But when you're a believer, you don't have the right to have a license to sin. So anyone that comes into our congregation, they're welcome to come, but I will ask them to consider either getting married or separating. Up to them. Because we have to live according to the word of Yah. We all need to be careful that we don't use grace as a license to sin. To achieve this, we need Yehovah, his son Yeshua, and the Ruach HaKodesh to guide our every step. Let us praise Yah this day for our daily walk with him, our weekly or daily study of the Torah to guide us, but also not putting aside the teachings of Yeshua, who came to this earth to bring us all supposed Torah observant people back to the true Torah of Moshe and away from the Torah of the scribes and the Pharisees, as we read in our readings today. Let us live our lives by the obedience of Torah and the teachings of Yeshua, and not by the rules of the Pharisees of today or the doctrines of mankind. So does anyone have any questions? Nope. Who said that? Malachi, grab the mic.
I was thinking about the comment that repentance and forgiveness, there was some the phrase like that, and I was thinking, is it, maybe it's not actually repentance but confession.
Confession come hand in hand.
Yeah, but people can confess. Repentance, doesn't that include turning away from?
It does.
But confession doesn't necessarily
mean.
That's
right, that's what I'm
saying. So they were confessing but not repenting.
Yeah.
In that little example.
Yes, they were.
Okay.
Well, they were confessing their sin, asking forgiveness. They were asking forgiveness for it, but they weren't really repenting because they weren't turning from their actions.
Mm.
Malachi was right. I didn't emphasize that enough, I suppose. That repentance is making that 180 degree turn away from the sin that you're committing and following Yehovah. Yes, Harry.
I just found interesting what Malachi was saying, and I'm thinking of Catholics who put great store in confession, and it's part of their religion.
I think they have to pay too. They pay to make the confession and for the father, whatever they call him, to repent, to forgive them.
Well, that's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
But so they go and confess their sins and just keep doing that.
That's right.
But they're not really changing.
They're not changing at all.
So that's really just a works religion based on works.
That's right, it's religiosity.
Which doesn't achieve anything, really.
It's exactly right. Because there's no true repentance. True repentance is to turn away from that sin and not commit it again.
Yes.
But they seem to think that by grace, they can continue to sin and they'll continue to be forgiven.
Well, I think that applies to a lot of Christian churches too. It's a fine line.
Yes, but they've come under a doctrine of grace, where grace gives forgiveness, not repentance.
So what they're missing out is on the power not to sin.
Yeah.
So the fruits of the Spirit really need power to put into effect. And what you're saying is that that's where the Holy Spirit comes in.
That's right.
Gives you the power not to sin.
That's right, because they're the fruit of the Spirit.
Yep, thank you.
That's why I like to cover the whole broad spectrum.
Good, you're doing it.
Anyone else? Okay, let's move on to the remembrance service.